It's the second gospel. It's not the second in primary order, it's just the second the way they've put them in. It'll be a short time tonight and we'll go back for a bit of worship. The reason I said what I said at the beginning of this meeting for was because if ever there was a man who was a broken clay, this is a young boy who was a broken clay. A bit like me, had a really good start in life because his mother was called Mary. Great name in the Bible. His mother was called Mary. And Mary, was pretty wealthy because we know that Mark's cousin is called Barnabas. And Barnabas, we know in Acts, sold his possessions and gave it to the church. So this guy Mark's mother was called Mary, and his cousin was Barnabas. And Mark had a great start in life. Mary used to allow her house to be used for the furtherance of Jesus. And in fact, it was at Mary's house where the disciples prayed that Peter might be released. And Mary's house, which is obviously Mark's mum, was pretty influential in Jerusalem at the beginning of the church. So Mark is probably about 10 years younger than the disciples. But Mark will be pretty well known to them all. And in fact, if you read the two chapters from Mark, the account of Gethsemane, in fact it says there's a young man came and they grabbed his clothes and they tore his clothes and he ran away naked. Now, this is not in the Bible, so hear what I'm saying, but this is how many commentators, is that someone came to Mark, because Mark, as I say, was very known to the disciples, and knocked at his door. Mark apparently, we don't know this for certain, it's not in Scripture, but knocked at the door and said, there's a commotion going on in Gethsemane. And apparently Mark was in his nightgown, and apparently he went to Gethsemane to hear what was going on. And he was the young man that, when they took a hold of his clothes, he ran away in panic, and the clothes obviously were falling to the ground and he ran away. You find that in chapter 4. Let me tell you, the Bible does not say that. The Bible just says there was a young man. Okay? But tradition says that it was Mark. It was Mark. And he was a young man who obviously his cousin was Barnabas. And Barnabas says to Saul, why don't we let Mark come with us on our first journey? And so this young lad, Mark, goes on the first journey, on the first missionary journey in Acts 13. But he either gets homesick for mum, or he doesn't like the roughness of the journey, or whatever reason, and he pulls out halfway through. And he heads back home to Jerusalem. Now, when it comes to the second missionary journey, Paul says there's absolutely no chance that I'm taking this guy. He's a bottler. It causes such friction between two brothers, Paul and Barnabas, who is his cousin, and Paul, that it almost, and it's a split. And Barnabas goes away somewhere else, and Paul, you know, takes Silas. But you see, Mark has left a devastated young man. He's a broken man. Because it's almost 10 years from that incident that Mark actually appears again in Scripture. And it's in Colossians. What happens in those 10 years? We know from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Where Peter says, I greet you, and so does my son Marcus. And this Marcus is actually Mark. And what has happened is, this broken man who has come away from a missionary journey, despondent, rejected, Paul no longer thinks he has any use. And who is the very person that takes Mark into his house? The very man who knows what failure is all about, the Apostle Peter. You see, Peter can look at Mark and like looking in a mirror. If any man knows what it's like to fail in a project, Peter does. You see, what I was telling you this morning is quite simply this, for this reason. You see, God uses those bad things that happen in our life for his glory. And I can empathize and sympathize with lots of people in lots of situations because I passed through that valley myself. And Peter had passed through the valley of denying his Saviour. Peter had passed through the valley of total rejection against his Saviour. He absolutely rejected, he ever knew him. He knew what it was like to be a failure, a broken, broken clay. He looked at Jesus and he wept and he wept and he wept. And on the seaside shore, three times Jesus hits the point to him. And three times Peter realizes what's happening here. Do you really, really love me? And Peter's a broken man. But Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Peter, on this rock, I am going to build my church. Oh, I tell you something. Brothers and sisters, a broken clay was transformed into a brand new vessel. And that is why Peter, in 1 5:13, Peter says, greet and so does my son Mark. He says, Mark, it's not over for you yet, son. Yes, you failed on your missionary journey. It ain't over though, Mark. You come with me. And I believe the gospel of Mark, I have no scriptural evidence for it, but I believe the gospel of Mark is actually the gospel of Peter. And this young boy is restored in those 10 years. Till we get to the point in 2 Timothy where Paul says, bring Mark to me again. Mark has become useful again to the Apostle Paul. And he's one of the few people who's mentioned at the end of this man's life, Paul. Do you know that? He's one of the few men mentioned. Because it's not how you start, brothers and sisters. It's how you finish. Oh, come on, I want to be encouraged for you tonight. This man, who was rejected by the great Apostle Paul, was accepted by the great Apostle Paul, and long before he died, the Apostle Paul and Mark were reunited in the service of God. That's a little bit about the outlay for Mark for you. And when you read the Gospel of Mark, remember that. Here is a young man who had all the privileges that had to be privileged at such an early age. He probably knew the disciples. His mother was an influential woman, and the house was open for people to come in and through in the house of Jerusalem. Significant events happened in that house. He had all this going for him, but he still fell. But God still restored. God still restored. And Mark looks at Jesus as a servant. Matthew looks at Mark as a king, as we said. But Mark looks at Jesus as a servant. What a difference Mark is. You see, to Mark, he knows what a servant is. Because as Mark's house was influential, they would have had servants. And when Mark sees Jesus in action, he doesn't look at him as a king. He looks as if someone who is a servant. And ministry is the key for Jesus. Ministry is the key, what Mark wants you to know. He wants you to know that Jesus came not to serve, to be served, but to... And it's in Mark. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to verse 45. Two disciples are arguing who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Mark wants you to know that when he looked at Jesus, he saw someone who didn't want to be a master, but someone who wanted to be a servant. He starts off at the beginning of chapter Mark. Mark chapter 1 says, this is the beginning of the gospel. He goes straight into Jesus' ministry. He doesn't tell you about his birth. He doesn't tell you about his childhood. He's interested only to let you know that Jesus came to serve. And the other thing about Mark is it constantly calls himself the Son of Man. Time and time again in the book of Mark, when you read the gospel of these 16 chapters, you will find that Jesus refers himself to the Son of Man. That he came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. So Mark's not interested in anything else but letting you know. And he gets straight into the book. You look at Mark chapter 1, and it'll tell you straight into the book of Mark. You need to keep our Bibles open here. Because there's verses we will be reading. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness." And then he goes on into John the Baptist. Then he goes straight into Jesus. He gets the temptation of Jesus in a couple of verses. And then it says in verse 14, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Verse 1 is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. And in verse 14, John was put in prison and Jesus began preaching the gospel. He's straight into the gospel. As a servant, Jesus came to minister the good news of God. Now, Mark wants you to know straight from the first chapter that Jesus was a leader in ministry. Jesus was a different leader from the Pharisees. He was a different leader from the scribes. Mark 1 reveals these following qualities about Jesus' competence. He took responsibility to make them fishers of men. You see, he wanted people to come and minister with him. He had a thorough understanding of the scriptures in verse 22. His comprehension of what God wanted for him in verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not having scribes. He had commandment in his voice. Verse 25 and 27, "But Jesus rebuked the spirit, and when the unclean had come out of him, and they were all amazed." See, Jesus is a minister here. Here in his ministry, Jesus was a minister of authority. He was in control. He maintained organizations and controls in many situations. In verse 34, "Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons." Look at all that Mark's on about in the first chapter. He's on about miracles. He's on about all the work that Jesus is doing. He's straight into God's ministry. Verse 35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long way before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place where he was praying. But after he finished praying, he said, 'Let's go to the next towns and I might preach there also.'" What a journey. You read Mark chapter 1, he's already on his journey of ministry. He's called the fisherman in John chapter 1. He's cast out unclean spirits. He's then gone into, after casting out that in verse 29, he's gone and healed Peter's mother-in-law. He then at 32, in evening time, he's still healing. Can you see his whole ministry? This is one day in Jesus' life in Mark chapter 1. Take my hand. Drinks in there. And in John chapter 1, look at Jesus' itinerary for 24 hours. It's full of activity. The next day, having early got up, after his early morning prayer meeting, he said to the disciples, "Come on, we're off now. We're going to the next town." Look at verse 40. "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean.' And Jesus moved with compassion." We're only in the first chapter. Mark wants you to know that Jesus was a man of action. He's a man of ministry. Let me tell you this. Out of 35 miracles recorded, Mark records 18. Why? He wants you to know that Jesus is a man on a mission. He's a man on a ministry. He's the gospel of reactions. Look at them. Let's read them. So I want you to Bible. I want you to keep your Bibles open for. This is how Mark presents your Savior this today as a minister. "They were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? With what authority does he command even the unclean spirits?' And they obey him." Look at chapter 2, verse 7. "Why does this man speak blasphemous things like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Not only is he a gospel of action where I showed you in Mark chapter 1 all the things that he did in 24 hours, but he's also, Mark's telling you that this is a gospel of reaction. How people looked at him. People were amazed at him. But look at chapter 2, verse 7. Very critical of the Savior. Who does he think he is? Look at chapter 4, verse 41. Verse 441. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'Who can this man be that even the winds and the seas obey him?'" And chapter 6, verse 14, they're puzzled at him. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, has John the Baptist risen from the dead? Puzzled by who was this man? Mark says, let me tell you. This is a man of mission, on a mission, a man who did miracle after miracle. He sees him as a complete servant. And here in Mark is a gospel of action and a gospel of reaction. I want you to notice the Greek word euthos is used. And the Greek word euthos is used, it means straight away, immediately, forthwith. It's used 42 times in the book of Mark alone. And so in other words, what Mark is trying to say is, this man seems to be on some sort of mission, doesn't seem to have much time. 42 times in 16 chapters, it's read, translated, straight away, immediately, forthwith. It's almost as if this man has a plan in store, and he's got to get on to reach the goal. And I want to tell you, we are servants of Christ. And we're on a mission. We can, through God, see miracles happen today. But we have to be like Jesus in Mark 10. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Mark wants you to know that Jesus was a man of on a mission. There it is, the Greek word euthos. It's incredible that Jesus, the great Son of God, humbled himself and became a servant. And there were 16 chapters. That word 42 times is used of Jesus quickly going to some unseen goal. Praise God, we know what that goal was. That goal was Calvary. The golden passages of Mark are simply this. The value of life and the cost of discipleship. Why? Because Mark wants you to realize the price of being a servant. The Christianity life is not a life of a freebie or a life of roses. It's a life of cost. Jesus expects us to be servants. It's a bit hard to take. We all want to be lorded over. But Jesus wants us to be servants. But he talks about the power of faith and forgiveness. And if you feel that you can't be forgiven, you should read this chapter, these verses. Mark gives us a great institution of the Lord's Supper in Mark 14, 22 to 25. And then he gives us that fantastic Great Commission in chapter 16, 15 to 20. In 16 chapters, Mark gives us more action than any other of the three Gospels put together. It's a fantastic book. Read the whole 16 chapters. You will be amazed at what Jesus does in 24 hours. You'll be amazed at all the miracles he's done. He's a gospel of action. It has no prologue. It has no prologue, Mark, except for the title. His direct quotations from the Old Testament for purpose of the prophetic interpretation are very few. He doesn't really bother going into the Old Testament to give you prophecies concerning Jesus. He just wants you to know that Jesus came to serve. Of the 70 parables, there are numerous quotations and allusions of 70 parables and paralytic utterances in the Gospel. Mark has only 18. Mark gives more space to miracles than any other of the Gospel writers. Because Mark is a gospel of personal reaction. And if you read chapter 14, verse 1 of Mark, you'll find the reaction was bitterly hostile towards Jesus. There are at least 23 such references about reaction in this gospel. I've only given you a few. There are 23 if you want to go through them. But all of these touches offer Mark the gospel that Jesus was vivid on his ministry. Mark gives us a great style of what Jesus wants you and I to be. The purpose of Mark's gospel is primarily evangelistic. It is an attempt to bring the person and the work of Christ before the public in a new message of the good news. Without assuming that you know much about Old Testament theology. Because you see, Matthew, I thought we were going to get through this tonight, but we're lucky we're going to get through Mark. But Matthew was speaking to a Jewish audience. Mark is speaking to a Greek audience. So Mark is saying, I'm not particularly interested whether you know the Jewish law or whether you know the Jewish history. I want to tell you this. In the beginning, the gospel of the good news was preached by Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about someone who was a Jew, yes. But someone whose life was characterized by preaching the good news. And the good news is mentioned time and time again in Mark. He wants his Greek audience to know, I've got good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rob. Because I think the gospel is good news. And I want to tell you something. People are looking for miracles today. And we have become like sin. What did Jesus say? These things you will do greater than I have done. Didn't he? But are we prepared to become the servant? Are we? As I say, the young man in the garden who escaped in 14 verse 51 and 52, people say is actually Mark himself. We have no proof of that at all. I want to tell you, if you ever want to get excited about Jesus, read the Gospel of Mark. He did more in 24 hours than we'll do in a lifetime. Read that chapter 1 again for yourself when you get home. At evening time, Jesus was still ministering. Up early the next morning to pray in a mountain alone. I don't know whether he had time for breakfast, but he said, come on, it's time to get to the next town. I've got good news to tell everybody. I've got an itinerary. It's a gospel full of action. It's got 45 times that word straight away immediately.